Monster Movie Media presents.
This is Corey Burton, the voice of the El Rey Network, and the Haunted Mansion Holidays, and of course Captain Hook, and many others. And you're listening to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 78 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we take a look back at some of the creepy and not so creepy things that we experienced and found at the D23 Expo this past August. But before we get to that, I have two things I want to share with you. First of all, is that we have decided that this year we will not be doing Creepy Days. If you're unfamiliar with what that is, in 2014 we released an episode of Creepy Kingdom every day in October, counting down to Halloween. And that was an incredible experience and had a lot of great guest contributors, and we had a lot of fun doing it. But we will not be doing it again this year. It may happen. It may happen again next year. Not sure, but that's not what's going on this year. But rest assured, we will be doing something very special for Halloween. Of course, for Creepy Kingdom. Well, I'm not quite ready to announce exactly what that is. What I can tell you is that our Halloween special will be released on October 30th. That's the tidbit of information that I can share with you for now. Just going to have to stay tuned for more details. The other thing is that I'm very excited to announce that Creepy Kingdom has officially launched our very own Patreon account. If you are unfamiliar with what Patreon is, basically it's a way that you can support us at Creepy Kingdom. You can set a dollar amount to contribute to the show per month. In exchange for that, we'll have some special stuff just for our patrons. That's the word they want us to use, right? Patrons. We haven't quite figured out all that yet. We're still getting it set up and everything, but if you appreciate what we do, we would appreciate your support so we can keep doing it. You can just go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com/creepykingdom. And of course, the link will be in the show notes. So without any further ado, let's begin. Okay, I'm here with Her Minxliness, Michelle. Hello.
Good evening, James.
Welcome back to the program.
The Creepy Kingdom program. It seems to have been an eternity.
I know. It's been every episode you're not on is an eternity.
Aww. For me. That's because you record when I'm asleep.
Yeah, it's true. But I woke up early to record with you today.
Early? Oh. Yeah,
it's early enough. We're about 8 hours difference right now. We It used to be only 5 hours difference, which seemed to be a little bit easier to deal with, but 8 hours, that's a whole work day separate.
I know. I've had my evening meal. I'm in my pajamas, and yeah.
And I'm just getting my day started, but, you know.
This has been my world for the last few years since I've been on this Disneyland adventure of mine.
Yeah, all the other people you podcast with besides your co-host on Disney Dreamgirls, Jane, everyone's seems to be on the West Coast in California, right? So you have to...
I know. I've left my heart in California. I've got so many amazing friends over there.
Well, you're just going to have to come on down. Come on back.
I will do soon, James. Counting the days.
All right. But before we jump to that, we're good?
Well, I was just going to say that eventually we got to physically meet in person.
Yes, I was about to say, before we jump to your next trip, we need to talk about your last trip, which coincided with the D23 Expo, where Michelle and I finally got to meet live in person and spend some time somewhere. Where was that place that we hung out? I don't remember where it was.
Disneyland?
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called. I forget the name of it. Yeah, we spent some time there. Which we'll get it. We had some little fun stories to talk about that. We'll get into that a little bit later. But we wanted to take a moment now that the smoke has cleared, the dust has settled, and reflect on the D23 Expo this past year, which took place, I should know the dates, August 14th through the 16th. That was a while ago. Wow.
Just a bit.
It was a little while ago. So... you know, what we're going to do here, we're not necessarily telling you news from it, because obviously if you cared about the news, you know it by now, because that was a while ago. But just a little
bit. You mean the building of Star Wars land? Shock horror!
I didn't hear about that. Maybe you could tell me all about it. I just kind of reflect, and of course, I was on the hunt for anything dark and creepy to tell you guys about, and also because I was personally interested in it. And I gotta tell you, everybody, it was a hard hunt to track down anything that was dark or creepy at the D23 Expo. But, you know, Michelle and I do have a lot of thoughts about our experiences there, so let's share them, huh? Let's do it.
I'm up for that.
Now, I went all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you went on...
Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. And why didn't you go on Friday?
Real reason.
The real reason, yeah.
The person who got me the tickets only got me Saturday and Sunday. That's as real as it gets.
All right. That person depriving you... on Friday.
I think it was for strategic reasons, because they weren't able to go on the Friday, so they got me tickets just for Saturday, Sunday, and I was more than happy just to do the 2 days.
Understandable. Okay. Well, but I did go on Friday, and it was something else. I'm kind of wondering how we should approach this. I think we should kind of get the elephant in the room out of the way right away here before I talk about some of the things that I experienced. And the really quick review of the entire expo is the things that I saw, the panels I went to, I thought were awesome. I thought they were really entertaining and fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. Pretty much any panel that I actually got into and sat down. Independent of that, the amount of waiting in lines that I had to do over these past 3 days was pretty much what I imagine hell to be like. Just in a never-ending line of, like, it was, I don't know. I'm almost at a loss of words. I just, you know, I've been to many cons, I've done many things, but the lines there was crazy. And
did you get that classic one where you had to get in a line to get into a line?
No. I didn't quite do that. But I mean, I could start off by saying I am, you know, when you first get there, they had a line for D23 members, and then they had a line for general admission. And so I'm a D23 member, so I asked what that line was. And essentially, that line was separated into three different segments. So they separated them into three different lines for some reason. I don't know. And so I was in the third line, which wasn't moving at all. Like, it was just completely staying there. And ended up standing in this line in no shade in the very hot California sun for at least an hour trying to get in, just, you know, and nothing was happening. I'm sitting there just sweating. Everyone's dying. No one knows what's going on. You know, when you're in a long line, at least if it's moving, you kind of feel like you're accomplishing something, even if it's moving just slightly. But you're wondering, like, what is the issue? Like, scan the tickets or the badges and then let them walk inside, right? Like, why is the line not moving at all? I still don't know what happened. Ended up, I was with my girlfriend Shannon, and she went inside to take a break from the heat, and she saw that they were just letting people in and not even checking badges. So she called me and said, come now. And then, you know, I was able to get in. But if she hadn't done that, I mean, who knows how much longer I would have been standing outside in the sun. And you have
probably been still there now.
I probably you'd have to think, like, what is the issue? Like, I still don't know why we were standing there. It was that was not a very good start. And the first panel I wanted to see was almost over. When it was the, what is the actual name of this? I gotta say the right name. I got my handy little schedule here. For the Magic Behind the Muppets is what it was. And I ended up getting in there. I caught the last 15 minutes of that panel. And that 15 minutes I saw was extremely entertaining. I actually loved it. So, I would have been really more excited if I saw the whole thing. But I just thought that was kind of not the best way to get things started, you know. But, you know, tough to through.
I heard lots of friends with horror stories about how long they waited outside. One of my friends, literally, by the time they'd got in, they did an hour and a half, turned round and left. They just couldn't cope. They just got melted by the sun waiting to get in.
Oh, wow. So they never got in. They waited an hour and a half and then left?
They waited an hour and a half, went in, literally just wandered around for an hour and then left. They'd had enough.
They're already burnt out. Wow. Well, fortunately, no matter how you look at it, I stayed there for the long haul that day. And, you know, my first walking into the show floor, I would say I was pretty overwhelmed. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's a lot to take in, a lot going on, don't really know where to go or what to do. So I just kind of moseyed along a bit here and there. One of my goals for the day was to get into the animation panel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was at 3 o'clock. So, you know, I moseyed around for a little bit, but I eventually was like, okay, people are telling me if you want to get into these panels, you have to show up at least 2 hours or more ahead of time. I heard people started waiting in these lines last night, like overnight, like things like that. And, yeah, I've kind of reached a point in my life, and especially after this experience where I was like, you know, I think I'm pretty much good on waiting on long 2 hour plus lines for the rest of my life, really. I mean, I can't, you know, I mean, in my youth, I would do stupid things like that, you know, wait overnight to buy concert tickets, you know, to make sure it doesn't sell out and things like that. But I just, you know, just really takes it out of you, just to say the
totally.
Least. You know, and yeah, so it ended up. But like before that, though, they had the Imagineering Pavilion had two things. I saw one of them that day, which I waited in line just for that, of course, was a big display on Shanghai Disneyland. Did you see this?
I did, yes. That was really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed looking at that, especially we did an episode on Shanghai not too long ago, so it was all fresh in my mind. It was cool to see the models and the concept art and a little bit of video.
Definitely. So cute.
It's cool. It's kind of like, oh, wow.
Maybe, yeah, antipathies of Yosha.
Yep. I was like, it's all coming together. But I was like, yeah. But it's the other thing, too, when you see this overseas stuff, everything's overseas for you besides Paris, I know. But I'm just like...
I'm still over a sea.
Yep. Sure. Okay. Everything's overseas for you. I was like, man, I kind of wish some of the stuff was coming to the stateside parks, but I don't know. But yeah, I'm not going to get too into that since we just did an episode on Shanghai. But it was cool. I posted a few pictures of some concept art, and that was fun. But eventually it's time for me to get in this line for the animation panel, and yeah, that was rough. That was... I think it was supposed to start at 3. It didn't start till 3:30, and I'd gotten there a little before 1, and I was by myself, which always standing in line by yourself makes it even more boring and tedious. And you know, it's just a constant like, oh, I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna sit down, and then I sit down for a few minutes, and my foot falls asleep, and then my back hurts, so I stand up, and then I stand up for half an hour, and then my feet hurt, and it's just like, it's this never-ending cycle of annoyance and boredom, you know, and it's like, oh, I keep messing with my phone, oh, my battery keeps dying, you know, like, it's just, I'm starving, I'm thirsty, like, it's just really miserable, like, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, before the panel, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm like, why is this worth putting myself through this torture just to go to this panel? I thought so. I was kind of grumpy, I would say, by the time we actually got in there. And this panel ended up being very long. It was supposed to be 2 hours. It was over 3 hours.
Wow.
But we missed the very beginning of it because they had some issue getting people in. So it started by when we were being seated, and we were the auditorium is so huge that where we were seated, we might as well have not even been there because we might as well just watch it on TV because all we were doing was looking at screens. It was so far away. It was ridiculous. But all that negativity aside, I actually loved watching this panel. I thought it was a lot of fun and extremely entertaining. So as I was watching it, I was like, I was really enjoying it. You know, like I was like, man, there's got to be a way. I wish there was a way to not stand in long lines to enjoy it, to view this stuff, because I actually like it. You know, what did we go with? One of the interesting things there was that they debuted a new Inside Out short. Have you seen Inside Out?
I have.
And did you like it?
I did. Right. I want to actually watch it again, though.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the DVD.
Okay, before you give your full review, that's fine. yeah, I liked it a lot, but they had a short that was... They're in the film, there's the main character, the girl, runs into a teenage boy briefly, and then they show like a second of his, you know, what's going on in his head. They actually go on a date, so it's kind of like you get a little bit of his head, a little bit of the girl's head, the dad's head reacting to the first date, and all this stuff. It was pretty fun, so I enjoyed that. What else did they talk about there? That was fun. Probably the creepy news I got to bring to everybody is, Pixar has been working on a film for the Day of the Dead, the untitled film, and they actually titled it. It's called Coco, and they showed it was an animation test. They said this was not part of the movie, but it was just to kind of get a feel for what the movie would be, and it was really awesome. Like, it was super creepy and weird, and I think this is, I think Coco might be a Creepy Kingdom classic, you know, whenever that comes out in 3 or 4 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they have very little to show for that film, but I found it, I thought that was cool.
It's a very strange title. It doesn't really make you become fulfilled with foreboding, does it, Coco?
Not at all.
Coco's warm and fuzzy, and you have when you're cold to warm you up.
Yeah, it might be a little misleading. I'm not sure why they went with that title.
Yeah, they'll change it before it's out.
I'd say that's possible.
Yeah. Creepy Coco. It's Coco with eyes floating inside it.
There we go. Creepy Coco. That's the, I like that. That has a ring to it.
Creepy Coco. Yeah. I've patented Disney. I want the ka-ching. Thank you.
There you go. They'll send in your check now.
Not.
Right. They showed a little preview of the upcoming film Zootopia, which looks okay. I'm kind of, it might be all right. I'm not really sold on it. I'm not sure. Good Dinosaur, they showed a lot of that. I think that's actually the next film that's coming out, which I'm kind of on the fence about that one as well. I mean, I'm sure I'll watch all these movies, but you know, it was just,
are you fed up of dinosaur movies? Seriously, you've just had Jurassic World out.
Well,
you know, they've done all the dinosaur crud in the past. I'm dinosaured out. Move to another time zone. I've just done with it. Come on, people. Get an imagination going.
Well, I would say the one interesting thing about this is that it's as though dinosaurs never became extinct and humans became their pets. I think that as a concept is kind of interesting. But the thing about the film and like the backgrounds and everything, it looks amazing. Like it's almost photorealistic. But then the dinosaur looks like cartoony and goofy. And that's just kind of like I'm not really sold on the look of the film. So I'm not sure about that. One of the really interesting thing that came of it was they had a huge preview of Finding Dory. And so I'm just going to put this out there to everyone so everyone knows is that I'm not the hugest Finding Nemo fan. Yeah, I know I'm in the minority on that one, but I don't hate it, but I certainly don't love it. And one of the reasons that I don't love it is that I could not stand Dory in Finding Nemo. Like, it was, her character was super irritating to me. So, so when they said they were doing a movie about Dory, I was not really that interested in it at all. But I would say after showing what they showed about, they showed a lot, like a lot of scenes from Finding Dory, I was actually really impressed. And what was really impressive to me was they actually had the main voice cast come out live, which I didn't even know who was in the movie until this happened. But they had Ed O'Neill, who is on Modern Family, but is known to my generation as Al Bundy from Married with Children. So I was like, that's pretty cool to see him come out live in person. And Sweet D from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Have you seen that show?
No. Nope.
I'm sure it comes on there. I don't know. Whatever. But that was really unexpected that she was in the movie. And it was kind of a rush to see her there live in person. They had Ellen surprise everyone and come out. So I guess that was interesting that Ellen was actually there. But I'm actually intrigued to watch Finding Dory. They actually sold it to me. And that's coming from someone that didn't want to see it at all. So I don't know. You excited for Finding Dory?
Yes, because I really enjoyed the first movie. So anything that continues that, I do get worried about sequels because sometimes they tend to be pants. Mm. So, and I obviously didn't go and see the panel that you did, so I suppose I'm just going to have to wait.
Yeah, oh, I also want to bring up, they were like super tight with like cell phones and like secure, you know, like they're trying to keep all this stuff secret, and I don't really understand what the point of that is. You know, like, let's, like, if you're gonna It's like, oh, it's exclusive to the people that went there. It's like, okay, but people are going to be reporting on it. The information's going to get out there. Like,
it was bizarre, especially when they give out media passes to certain elements of the media free of charge to get in there. And the whole purpose of that is for them to report on what they've seen and heard.
Right. So, but they can't use cameras or video on it. I'm just like, oh, that was weird. What they did was they gave us these bags. There are these plastic bags that you didn't expect. I don't think you experienced this because this didn't happen with the panel you went to. These plastic bags that had like a glue like seal thing on it that you basically had to rip it open to get your phone out. And apparently that was supposed to deter you from opening it. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of annoying personally, especially since it was so long, you know, like, I was like, by the time it was over, I'm like, what time is it? And then that's how I knew that it was a long time had passed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else there. I mean, they talked about so much stuff. They talked about Moana, that one of the next Disney princess film, I believe. Or is it a princess? Maybe, I don't know. But The Rock is in that film, and The Rock came out live. So,
oh, wow.
So that was, you know, it's just like the little celebrity rush. Like, oh, that's cool. Look, there's The Rock. You know, they briefly talked about Toy Story 4. And then they ended all out. Randy Newman came out live in person and performed You Got a Friend in Me.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I thought it was a very entertaining presentation. So I was really torn between how I felt about it. You know, like I hated waiting in line, but I liked the presentation. It's tough, tough call. By the time I got out of there, I was ravenously hungry and dehydrated. So I made sure I went and got something to eat and drink. And pretty much after that, the day was almost over. I did catch the end of another awesome panel, which was Imagineering 60 Years of Disneyland panel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which had – I caught the last 15 minutes of that, and I loved it. I wish I saw the whole thing. But, yeah, they had I can't remember everyone that was on there. Sorry, again, I'm not reporting on it for you guys. But the legendary Tony Baxter was on there, and I can't get enough of listening to Tony Baxter talk and tell his stories and go on and on and on. You know, definitely a living legend when it comes to Disney Imagineering. And, Kim Irvine, current Imagineer, daughter of late Imagineer Leota Toombs, was on the panel as well. And, that was a lot of fun. But that concluded my first day. So yeah, let's move over to Saturday. So this is the day that you arrived, and what were your impressions when you arrived?
I'm glad I had pancakes before I went in.
Because that was the best part of your day, pancakes.
Well, yeah, you know, the food areas were ridiculous. The queues were stupendous.
Yeah.
The prices were silly. And I am so glad I went to IHOP before I went and had a good brekkie.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's kind of conventions, though, for you. But, the lines were ridiculous just, yeah, to eat. I mean, I would say it was, like, to get, like, a, you know, a cheeseburger and fries, that was, like, half an hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah. I could have literally gone back to my hotel, got in a car, gone to In-N-Out, had a decent, got back into the convention center. Maybe a bit longer than 45 minutes, but I've been happier.
Wow, you're actually right. Yeah, but when you get in these lines, you're thinking to yourself, it can't possibly be this long. Like, who would stand in a line this long for food? And once you're in the line, like, once you pass a half an hour, like, you're in it for the long haul. You're not gonna you're not gonna dip out of line. So did you before we get to the main event, one of the things I thought was interesting was they had the live action movie panel that morning. And again, people were waiting in line overnight for that. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to mess with that at all. That started at 11. And I was like, I'm not going to get there super early. I also want to preface this that every night after the expo, I went to Disneyland and hung out with friends until late at night. So, you know, I wasn't waking up super early, but I was there at expo start every day. So I was like, I'm not going to try to get into that because I knew it had to be there. And I'm hearing all these horror tales of people standing in line for the, you know, 12 hours before the panel starts.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on.
And I'm just...
There should have been a law passed saying you could have only stood in line maximum 2 hours.
Yeah, the line doesn't... You can't start standing in line for 2 hours.
Yeah. That would have been my rule if I was princess in charge of D23.
Well, I actually want to ask you how you'd run it differently when we wrap up. But what else? Not too much really happened before. Basically, the main event for all of us here was to see the parks and resort panel. Michelle and I were both there that day, but we did not see each other at all that entire day.
Mostly, I was avoiding James.
Yeah, because you're avoiding me. I was going to give you an out and say it's because your cell phone doesn't work in our...
stupid English phone.
But it's because you're avoiding me. So leading up, you know, I did a lot of walking around, taking some pictures, you know. I didn't really do anything that much, but one of the things I did accomplish was I got to see the Avatar model. Did you see this at all?
I did. Aventuri, Centuri, Expeditions, or Explanations, or something, ACE. And they're going to take you to the Land of Avatar.
Right, so basically what Michelle is describing, if you haven't heard, is that you stand this line to see the model, and then you go in this room, and there's like a video playing. It looks like a marketing film from a travel agency that takes you to Pandora. And so we're sitting there watching people give testimonials about this travel agency that took them to Pandora. So I don't know. What did you think of that video?
It was okay. It sort of made it look so visually appealing. Mm-hmm. You know, all these floating islands, and it was from the viewpoint of people who'd actually been there. So it was very much immersing you in the story. You know, like someone who'd just come back from 2 weeks at Walt Disney World going, oh, it was amazing, the Seven Dwarf Mine Train, blah, 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 met Mickey and Minnie. But it was all about Pandora. I have a funny story to say about this. I was talking to the kids in my class about going and finding out about Pandora.
Right.
And they said, isn't that the place where my mum gets her jewellery from? Bless.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. But
yeah. It's like, by the end of this year, children, you will be fully educated in the ways of Disney.
We're just getting
started. I have you for 9 months to convert you.
You're going to know all about Pandora. The world.
They're
going to
know everything about Disney. They're going to know the lot.
Well, we'll check Ben at the end of the school year, and we'll ask. I'll let you know. I'll ask you what if they know about it. So I kind of thought that this film was just a way to like stall us from going in the next room to look at the actual model. I felt like I don't know. I feel like we're all D23. You know, we're all super fans. Like, I don't need you to pretend that we're going to Avatar. Can we please just show us what's actually going to be there? That's what I was thinking when I was looking at it. You know, I thought it was a little hokey. The model looks really interesting. It looks like a massive model of a forest. It was really cool to look at, but I didn't really know what I was looking at.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It was huge, though.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to take up a lot of space.
It did on that table.
Definitely. There was There was a huge red moon behind it, so we're wondering if that's going to be part of the landscape. Out of
yeah, because Disney's going to pay for a new moon.
Yep, they're going to buy a new moon for everyone. I'm not sure. My thoughts on this in general, like, I'm kind of like intrigued by it. A lot of people were really against it. I wasn't necessarily against it, but I wasn't like super excited about it. You know, I was always intrigued. You know, if anything, I would say seeing going into space where, you know, all the plants light up and all that stuff, I think that's going to be pretty cool. And you'd have to hope that whatever attractions they're building are going to be, you know, cutting edge. So that's something to look forward to. But, you know, it's so far away from opening that I just don't even think about it as like a possibility of something that I'm ever going to do. So it's going to be a little surprise. But enough about this. We went to the Parks and Resort panel. We didn't go together, but we were both there, and we both waited in long lines to get in. You know, I did it the day before. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I guess I should just do it again. You know. And the interesting thing about it was that morning during the live action panel, the announcement that everyone was waiting for the parks was announced during the live action panel was that they're, you know, the Star Wars, they're building Star Wars Land in both parks. And I thought that was kind of lame that they did it during the live action panel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I feel like you should have done it during the Parks and Resort panels, because that's, you know, for the parks fans, that's what it's all about, right? But so that took a little bit of the everyone going into that knew that was already announced. I mean, everyone knew it was coming anyways. I mean, it wasn't like a big shocker, but there was always this thing on the table was like, what were they going to announce? You know, they knew they had to announce something, but, you know, that's what the mystery was. We knew it was coming eventually, but I wasn't sure how much information we were going to get about it. And in all honesty, we really did not get that much information at all, if you think about it, right?
To be honest, a lot of what we heard was already available and out there. They may have padded it out with some concept art. Admittedly, the concept art looked, oh my God, amazing. But yeah, there wasn't... I think the Toy Story Land and the detail was what we really got.
That's something that we didn't really know what was coming in detail. Again, talk about something that's not coming anytime soon. With the Star Wars things, it's like, I mean, they haven't get any type of a timetable, but let's be realistic. I mean, that's not coming for at least 5 years, maybe possibly even longer, wouldn't you say?
Definitely.
So, I know that you're not a Star Wars fan, right? Was that be true?
Well, Kieran last weekend made me watch New Hope, which is movie number 4, but it was released first.
Right.
And I have been to the places that they used to film that film. I've been to a lot of the set locations in Tunisia many years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I have an understanding of the film. I've watched the film. Don't get me wrong, it's a good film. But for me, it's not my kind of genre specific I will go nuts over.
Right.
It's not Shawshank Redemption, don't get me wrong, but it's a good film. I have yet to watch the rest of them with him, and I will do so before I get really giddy and watch the next one with him. But it'll be more for the fact that I know he will enjoy watching it rather than watching it.
Gotcha. So you have a vague interest is what you would say.
Yeah.
But the point I'm bringing up here is that you are not super excited about visiting things from the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think of myself as a casual fan. I mean, I'm not a super fan, but, you know, it was a huge part of my growing up. And, you know, always enjoyed Star Tours. So, but, you know, they mentioned that it was going to be a new planet that no one's ever heard of. And I was kind of disappointed by that, because I feel like if we're going to do all this stuff, we want to go to places that we've seen in the movies. That's kind of the thing that I love. You know, it's like, oh, I saw this in a movie, and now I'm actually here. But this is kind of like, it's, you know, it was a way for them to mix the old with the new. That's pretty much why they do it. I remember why they're doing it, I assume. So they can mix things that we're familiar with from the past, but also, they, obviously, they want to build things that are going to tie into the new films that they're making as well. So it's a tough one. So what do you think about, there was a lot of rumors happening about a possible whole separate third gate with Star Wars and Disneyland and all this stuff. And I mean, what do you think? Like, is this, which, is this the best thing to do? I mean, let's just talk Disneyland, because obviously, Hollywood Studios desperately needs this there. But does Disneyland really need this? You know, shoehorned in the corner there?
Well, by the sounds of what they're saying, 14 acres, it's going to take up some space, but it's going to be quite sad to see areas that are connected to the past go, such as the Big Thunder Ranch area, the barbecue going, a lot of buildings behind that are going and moving to the areas that they've bought off harbour. Yeah, that's going to be quite a change. However, you've got to just go with the flow, and you know, Walt said the park's never going to be finished. And even with the introduction of Star Wars Land, there's going to be something else coming along that's going to be new and different and exciting. And it's constant evolving.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I'm not one of those people that say they can't change anything in the parks. I just kind of feel like that Star Wars Land, whatever it's called, doesn't need to be shoved into the back corner of Disneyland Park.
No, it could have gone in Tomorrowland, or it could have even better gone in Toontown.
Yeah, that's a lot of people who thought it was going, and
right on top of Roger Rabbit's ride.
Oh my
ride.
God, will you stop with the Roger Rabbit hatred? My lord.
You talk about hate waiting in lines. An hour for that ride.
I mean, I wouldn't wait an hour, but I love Roger Rabbit so much. It's one of my favorite movies, so I always try to get on it. Actually, it's funny. I almost never ride it because Toontown closes so early, like every night in Disneyland, where they shoot off the fireworks.
Well, that's probably why they didn't want to put Star Wars Land in that part of the park, because they want to have Star Wars Land having a great deal of volume in it as long as they possibly can.
Right. But it would have been all those the rumors I liked. I liked the rumors of a separate park, a Marvel Star Wars park. I think that would have been fun. But yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter, because none of these things are happening anytime soon. So eventually we'll hear more about what's actually coming there. It'll all materialize. But at least they announced it. So Toy Story Land. This was announced for Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I don't know. It was kind of interesting, but I was kind of like, I think we were expecting a little bit more. I don't know about you, but besides carnival rides, basically, is what we're getting, right? Like spinners and a Barnstormer-esque ride. Is there anything else there that I'm forgetting?
The Slinky Dog roller coaster.
Right, yeah, that's what I said. That's kind of like Barnstormer-level roller coaster.
Yeah, it's kind of a mashup of what they've got at Paris, because there is a Slinky Dog type attraction there, so I suppose they've built on that and made it a bigger attraction.
Okay.
They have something called RC Racer at Paris that would have been really good. It's like, you know, the sort of pirate ship that rocks from side to side. Well, it's done with like with a radio-controlled car instead of a pirate ship. And I thought, well, that would have been quite unique for that area.
Right, right.
Or they could have just brought in Ratatouille.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are the things that we were hoping to get. You want to hear that Ratatouille is coming to the stateside parks. I think a lot of East Coasters were hoping that some form of Cars Land was coming, because there have been a lot of rumors with that, especially with the Backlot Tour has the Catastrophe Canyon, which is essentially the rock work ready to go to put Cars Land in. And they obviously closed that about a year ago. And of course, everyone, you know, I don't think anyone was really expecting it, but deep down, that once announced Monsters, Inc. Indoor roller coaster, that it with the sliding doors room or whatever it was called, I don't remember what it was called, you know, something like that. But these are you know, BC level tickets for kids for Hollywood Studios, which is really nothing like that there at all. So it serves a purpose, but I guess, yeah, my excitement on it was mild. But all I could think about was, like, you know, a lot of people don't like going to Hollywood Studios at this point, but, you know, I enjoy Tower of Terror. It's, you know, you know, going on Star Tours, and now that's the only place where a Muppets attraction is. So you're still going to get me in the door there, but this just, the whole place is going to be a construction zone for years. You know, I feel like they should give, like, half price tickets. I mean, I know they won't, but
yeah, it's not exactly going to be worth its $100 price tag, is it, really?
No, that's, you know, I mean, Tower Terror is awesome, but, you know, still, like, it's, you know,
you can, there's only so many times you can do Tower of Terror, Fantasmic, Rock and Roller Coaster for $100.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a park hopper park. No one's going to, like, buy a one-day park ticket into Hollywood Studios.
Not unless they're mad.
Yep. So, any? Do you have any other takeaways from the Parks and Resort panel?
Not really. I thought it was kind of fun that they did the whole little spoof thing with the lottery ticket.
Oh, that's right. Stan Lee was there.
Yeah.
I forgot about Stan the man.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. And my son sort of messaged me and said, "Oh my God, you breathe the same oxygen as Stan Lee." It's like, yeah, it was like 18 miles away from me because
right,
it might
as well been like, it might as well been like, yeah, like another town is how far away we're from the front.
Yeah, it was good. As she said, I was busy tweeting away and saying what was going on and whatever. That one you could take your phones into, which was right. Bizarre. It, yeah.
That's how it left you, a little. <You're> like,
yeah, it was nice to experience. I'm glad I didn't wait any longer than an hour and a half.
Well,
I think people who queue up overnight, I just don't think it's necessary.
I don't think it's worth it. I mean, maybe for them, and that's what they want to do. More power to them. But the reason Stan Lee was there, because they were talking about the Iron Man attraction that's coming to Hong Kong and Disneyland, which looks to be similar to Star Tours. And, you know, I was hoping – they announced this before that. They just had a lot more to show of it, and they showed some of the footage from that. I was hoping that they would announce that that'd be coming to Disneyland or DCA or something. It seems like the perfect thing for DCA. You know, it's kind of weird that it's the first Marvel Disney attraction is in Hong Kong, and that
yeah, bit weird.
It's gonna be a while before anything new is actually open in either park. So we're just gonna, you know, ride it out.
Yep.
And see what happens. I guess the only other thing from that show was that they're going to do a Star Wars layover for Space Mountain in Disneyland.
Awesome.
Which I thought was kind of a cool thing. So.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Other than that, on Saturday.
Shame it's not starting until January.
Right. Well, you know, a few months as opposed to 5 years, you know. We'll take it.
True.
Other thing on Saturday that I witnessed was I witnessed a flash mob on Saturday.
Did ya?
I did. Friend of the show, Jeff Heimbach from Communicore Weekly, organized a Lion King flash mob where a bunch of people sang the Lion King song, which I'm blanking out on the name of the song, but, you know, the song at the beginning of the movie. And that was done right outside of the expo. So,
oh wow, I missed that.
I just watched. I didn't sing along.
I was too busy doing something far more interesting, like getting blisters on my feet.
Just I think that was literally, yeah, that was right before I went to go stand in line for the thing. So yeah, you probably were.
Yeah. I don't know really what I did in the morning, because all I seem to have done is walk around. Then I saw Park and Resorts, and then I effectively left. So, yeah. And then it was Sunday. And Sunday I tried to get there early, because it was the big one I wanted to do, which was the Silly Symphonies.
Right. You had the... What was the Silly Symphonies panel? What was that one about?
That was basically the 32-piece orchestra live on stage, and they were performing the music to go with the Silly Symphonies. So they were showing on two screens the Silly Symphonies, but they didn't show them all. I think they only showed about five or six, but they'd also got clips of Walt introducing each individual Silly Symphony. So it was like, wow. It was just amazing. Some of them were maybe a couple of minutes, others were like 5-6 minutes.
Wow.
And it was just surreal. It was just amazing to hear the thought process behind it, and it sort of told the history along with it, and then you got the beautiful music to go with it. I was giggling away and laughing. We'd managed to get some media seats for that, so we had amazing seats. It was awesome. Really enjoyed. That was a highlight for me.
Wow, that sounds really cool. Now, I'd have to ask, did they do the skeleton dance?
Of course.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Mind-blowingly awesome.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed that. That was like 11 or 10. That was one of the earlier things on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I think it was 11 o'clock and we were panicking because we were queuing up to get in on the Sunday, and it was like, it's 20 to 11, we're not going to get in, we need to get in for this. But we got it all sorted, and I was very fortunate the day before to have got a signed set of postcards advertising the box set, and I got the Silly Symphony Skeleton Dance one signed by the team behind it.
Wow, nice.
That's getting framed and going up on the wall. That's really major cool. I did actually give a couple of sets of them away, spare sets on the show as well. So that was like major awesome.
That's incredible. Yeah, that sounds like a good Sunday for you.
Yeah. And what else did I do? I then went in the archives exhibit.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what I want to talk about. Basically, by the time Sunday rolled around, I was really over everything. I was tired, exhausted, burnt out. And I told you I had stayed late at Disneyland every night, too. It was nuts. On Sunday, the one thing I wanted to make sure I got to was the Walt Disney Archives exhibit on Disneyland. I tried to go to that on Saturday, before the expo closed, and they actually cut off the line because it was so long. So I was like, all right, the one thing I'm going to do on Sunday is go there and go straight in line so I could see this exhibit. And I would say I got there at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wait like an hour and a half. to get into this, which is, these lines are out of control. Just to see an exhibit, it was nuts. How long did you have to wait to get in?
About an hour and a half.
I guess that was the. But the thing about the line is that by the time I got out of there, the line was twice as long. So that means people were waiting 3 hours to get into this thing. It's nuts, but I kind of, was it worth an hour and a half wait? Probably not, but it was really cool.
It was cool. It had some nice bits to see.
How would you describe it to someone else? Like what exactly it was?
Okay. If you're a bit like me in a Disney hoarder, it was a salted tat that you had in a box somewhere. But this wasn't tat. It was really cool stuff. Like, they had the first e-ticket. Sorry, not e-ticket. It was the first entrance ticket to the park. Then they had some ride vehicles and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah, this was basically, it was kind of over the 60-year history of the park, just a lot of memorabilia. It was almost like a little mini Disneyland museum. And it was pretty cool. One of the things that was there was this book I'd never heard of before. It was a little golden book that came out before Disneyland was built, called The Little Man That Lives in... What was it called?
The Little Man of Disneyland.
Little Man of Disneyland, yeah, yeah. Did you see this book?
I briefly saw it, yeah.
What's cool about it is the concept of it is that... So there's like a little man, probably 3 or 4 inches, maybe, I don't know. And he, you know, he lives on the plot of land where Disneyland was built. So this is like before Disneyland's actually built. And he's afraid he's going to get kicked out of his home. But, you know, they make sure that they keep a little space for him. And interestingly enough, I was in the park a few weeks ago with Roxy Tart, the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, and she didn't know about this book, but she knew that there was the little man's house. It's actually right outside of the entrance to Indiana Jones. Have you seen the little man's house?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I had no idea that it was there, and she had pointed out to me, and then I said, oh, I know, but she hadn't heard of the book. So I was like, oh, I know. I was like, I just read the book. Well, I didn't read it, but because it was behind glass. But yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, there's that really cool things. Like, they had the original Harold Yeti from the Matterhorn before his makeover there. The huge props from Fantasmic. It was cool. I spent a while in there. I would say I probably spent, I don't even know, like 45 minutes or so in there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time wandering around. It was nice.
I guess that's why the line's so long, because we spent so long. No, because it wasn't crowded in there. I think that was something they were trying to make it not crowded. So I appreciated that. But that was kind of it. You know, I made a few more rounds after that, got some cool cosplay pictures, and that was it for my D23 experience. What did you do? Did you leave after the archive trip?
I was stupid enough to join the queue for Mickey's of Glendale.
Mickey's of Glendale. So
never again will I queue to buy tat.
So this, now, from what I understand, Mickey's of Glendale is supposed to be a satellite store of a actual store that only Disney employees get to shop at. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it sells a lot of Imagineering stuff. For me personally, and don't get me wrong, I know other people love to do this. I've nothing against that. But for me personally, I do not wear Imagineering clothing. I've been with a friend who does tend to wear a lot of it. And in the park, he gets constantly stopped. Do you work for Disney? And it's like, well, actually, yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense, because it says Walt Disney World Imagineering.
Right.
And to me, it just seems weird. And I know you can counter that argument, well, what about people wearing replica sports tops? And I kind of get that, but you're hardly going to be stood next to Rio Ferdinand or a really famous footballer in a pub and not recognize his face.
Right. I mean, I think that's more common that people wear sports jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, like, not a lot of people have Imagineering shirts. And the general public doesn't know what Imagineering is. It's not like a commonplace thing to see people wearing what looks like official shirts of Imagineers. So yeah, I definitely understand why people would think that they work for Imagineering if they actually have a shirt or a hat. But so that's what they sell there, is shirts and hats that say Walt Disney Imagineering.
Yeah, and notepads and drinks cups. and sparks bags and.
Wow, how long did you wait to get in there?
Nearly 2 hours.
Wow.
I know. And then that wasn't it, because I got to virtually the front of the line and they had cast members going down, are you wanting to buy pins? And it's like, well, I don't know what if I'm wanting to buy pins or not. I don't know if the pins are going to be what I want to buy. Well, seemingly, if I wanted to buy pins, I had to go to a different queue round the corner and wait for another 30, 40 minutes on top.
Wow. I mean, the amount of lines that this expo has is unbelievable.
I know. It was just nuts. And I've been to cons before. The size of it blew me away. I didn't get to see everything at all, nowhere near.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go again unless I have had a mental breakdown.
So you're done. You're one and done, huh?
Yeah, just because I hate queues. And for me, with the availability of a lot of these panels online, it kind of defeats the object. I might as well have been in the park watching it on my cell phone.
Yeah, I mean, the information is available immediately. I mean, there is a fun thing of seeing it live. I've always wanted to do it. So there's that. You know, this is my first expo as well. So that was fun, I'm definitely with you. Some people don't mind waiting in long lines. It's just irritating. It takes away from the fun. I mean, they had this thing called Stage Pass, so that you could get some kind of a fast pass for certain panels, so to avoid waiting. The line to get Stage Pass was completely absurd. I could not believe how long the line was to get essentially a fast pass, so you don't have to wait.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the wait time was, but the amount of people that were in line when I walked over to do it, I was like, it's not worth it. I'll just go there and you know, roll the dice and hope I get in. Because I'm like, I'm not standing in this line, which, I mean, it had to have been at least 2 hours. You know, I don't know if you've heard of anyone that stood in the Stage Pass line, but it was...
I can't see the point in joining in a line to get into a line.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
So you're done with D23.
Yeah, done.
I'm kind of torn. I mean, I'm probably done. You know, but... I don't know. I can't sit here and say honestly I would never do it again, but I want to hear about a plan of action to tackle all the problems that they had this year. You know, I'm not sure what the thing is, but there has to be a better way to eliminate all these lines that everyone's waiting in.
Too right. There must be.
You know, because I've been to a lot of like conventions. I've had to stand in lines, but just, you know, I've never been to San Diego Comic-Con, which apparently is supposedly, you know, worse than when it comes to the lines. So you'll never get me there just for that alone.
I can imagine that there are people that loved it and had a completely different experience to me and you, James. And good for them, and I really do hope that they continue to go. I would imagine a company as large as Disney could have managed to make sections available on, say, for example, a pay-per-view screening service. Come on, we've got Makeup, we've got Periscope. I would have happily put down $10-$20 for live screening, wouldn't you?
Sure. From the comfort of my home, you betcha.
Yeah, too flipping right.
That's $10. I mean, that's something, you know, something like that's very reasonable. Or weekend pass or whatever. I don't know. Another thing too, you know, so I was on the quest for creepy things. There was not a lot there to be found, and I've talked a lot about it on the show in the past month or so. But a week earlier, I'd went to the Scare LA convention, where I had never seen so much creepy Disney things at anything I've ever been to ever. Disney or not. You know, that amazing panel about the history of the Hatbox Ghost with Tony Baxter. They had, you know, as again, if you've been listening to the past episodes, everyone, you know this, but they've had, you know, amazing panel with voiceover artists from, you know, Haunted Mansion and Holiday and Tower of Terror. They did live performances of the original script. Like, these are all things that should have been at D23. Like, give me a break. Like, why is there nothing? There's no Haunted Mansion stuff. There's, like, they just act like this whole element that we celebrate here at Creepy Kingdom doesn't even exist. Like, and this is supposed to be every aspect of the company under one roof. You know.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't completely representative of everything.
You know, I understand you can't please everybody, sure, okay. But, I mean, there could be something. At least one panel. You know, I mean...
Something for James.
That History of the Hatbox Ghost panel belonged at D23. You know, I mean, let's be honest here. You know, like... Like, last year, ScareLA did something for the 45th anniversary of Haunted Mansion. There was no D23, so okay. But they could have done something. I don't know. That's that, you know. I think, in short, probably won't go again. You're not going again. The information that we want is going to be out there. Sure, you might see some cool things, like the Silly Symphonies panel that you saw, the Muppets thing that I went to, but... I feel like a lot of these things can be seen outside of D23 and individual events. I mean, D23 Expo, because D23 puts on a lot of events throughout the year. And some of them are not always, you know, near everybody. But, you know, you might be able to see this concert or these kind of panels and things like that. I think it's just too much. It's too long of lines, too many people. I think we're just going to watch the videos online, right? if they let them record them anymore, I don't know. But enough about D23. Before we get out of here, you visited Southern California for about 3 weeks. Is that correct?
Nah, it was only two.
Oh, I thought it was
three. And a half.
All right, it's 3 weeks.
It felt longer.
So what were some of the... things that you did outside of D23 that you think our listeners might want to hear about?
I went to the most uncreepiest, the most unspookiest grave.
Really?
In fact, the whole cemetery to me was... I went to Forest Lawns, which is Walt Disney's final resting place, and I couldn't believe... You see, in the UK, you go to a cemetery, it does actually resemble the cemetery in the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
That is typically what our cemeteries are like, because obviously we've been around a lot longer and been burying our dead for centuries. So a lot of them are very creepy. Highgate Cemetery in London is creepy to hell. It really is. So you go to Forest Lawns and... It looks like the grass in between the little grave plaques has been neatly manicured with nail scissors. It's
wow.
Pristine. This park of cemetery, it is huge. You have to have a car to drive around for a start. And we drove around and my friend who was taking me knew where to go, because otherwise you never would have found it. And we walked past the sort of like, there's just like little sunken stones. And then there's a big mausoleum and you go around the corner and there's a little gate and there's a small area. I'd probably say no more than 5 meters square, 25 meters square, sorry.
Wow.
And on the wall, there's a plaque and it's Walt's final resting place. It just says his name. And a couple of two or three others, Lillian's with him as well. And the trees, and there's a bench to one side, and then there's a it looks like a girl sort of sat down on the ground, and by that there were lots of messages from other fans addressed to Walt, and I thought, well, I'll leave one. I'd just been to his favourite restaurant down the road at the Tam O'Shanter, so I had a menu, so I wrote something on there saying, thank you for all the wonderful people that I've met because of your dream in building Disneyland, and order something off the menu, it's from me. Cheapest meal I've ever paid for.
Yeah, I don't think people are too hungry in the afterlife, from what I hear.
No. But it was a very uncreepy moment in a very creepy place, because traditionally cemeteries are creepy, but this one wasn't. But there is a really cool big, massive Halloween shop near there, which I gave you the details of, James.
Yes, yes.
That I went to, so that was awesome. And later on that day, I went to go and see a friend of mine who's a former Disney Imagineer, and she basically gave me a tour of her studio, and she showed me some of the work she was working on, which was mega cool.
And whom is this person you speak of?
It is the former Disney Imagineer, Terry Harden.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And the following day, Terry had invited me to join her at D23. D23 on the brain.
I know.
To join her at Club 33 for lunch. And we went into the salon, into the bar area, and we just had ordered off the menu some sliders and had a drink. And I got to meet Bob Gurr, so I had a really good afternoon.
You met Bob Gurr. Wow.
I met Bob Gurr.
Wow, you can hear all about the details of that encounter on Michelle's podcast.
You can indeed.
So you know, I won't make you tell all that story, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then obviously I got to meet you and Shannon for the first time.
Yes, we finally met in person.
Yeah.
And had some, well, we met before. When did we meet?
We met up at the Adventureland Terrace, and you were running late because you'd been eating your face with Monte Cristos. And I saw you coming towards me, so I ran in front of Jungle Cruise going, James! And everybody looked around and thought, where's the mad woman from?
On top of the fact that you were injured.
Yeah.
And you were running towards me injured. It was a very touching moment.
I was hobbling with the walking stick.
And we had some fun.
We hung out that night till past midnight, didn't we, really?
Yes, that was not a D23 day, though, I believe it was after D23.
And then we had a couple of other times we met up, and just I had the pleasure of going on races for the first time with your lovely Shannon.
Yes, she was quite blown away.
Yeah, although I am a bit disappointed, James, to be quite honest. I feel like I do need to air something publicly now.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess this is the forum for that. So, all right. I'm ready.
Last year, you said you was going to propose to me in front of the Haunted Mansion, and you never did, and I'm really upset.
Wow, you really, really, really called me out on that one. Well, I was going to, but I thought that might be awkward.
Especially with your girlfriend.
With my girlfriend right there, yeah. So.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
You know, but... Well, you know, you never know what can happen. But
yeah, Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas, I want my proposal picture.
We'll see. There is a. I was going to say, no, the ring is in Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion queue. So it's not the Disneyland queue. So.
Yeah, I'd be taking a pickaxe to dig it back up, wouldn't I?
Right. Well, it sounds like, sounds like you had fun. You know, I mean,
did.
D23 was only 2 days of your trip, so you probably had a lot more fun doing other things. Alrighty. So. I think that is going to wrap this about up. So how do people find you and your podcasting activities that you take part in on a nonstop basis?
On Twitter, you can find me at Dis Dream Girls, D-I-S Dream Girls. Everywhere else, it's Disney Dream Girls. We've got a website. You can find our podcast, which is released every Sunday, just by searching Disney Dream Girls in all of those podcast catching apps places. And then I appear on another show, which is released every Monday, called The E-Avengers. And it's a panel show with four different podcasts coming on and just talking about all sorts of different things that we've picked up that's happening within the world of Disney.
All right. Any more podcasts in the works?
That's it. I think that's enough. With Creepy Kingdom, that makes three.
Wow, I mean, that has to be some kind of a Disney podcasting record, currently being on three podcasts at once. I mean,
nah, I don't think it's a record. I just think I'm mad.
Well, you know, there's just so much to talk about. We can't get enough. But thank you for taking this trip back a few months.
It's been awesome, James.
If you would like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, all you need to do is send us an email, creepykingdom@gmail.com. We're going to be responding to some more listener emails very soon. The emails that you guys have been sending in have been really awesome. We really appreciate it, and just want to make sure we get a few other contributors on so we can respond to them together, so it's not just me. So we will be responding to your email shortly, but if you haven't sent an email in, now's the perfect time to do it. It's creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you would like to check out any of our other podcasts, such as Curvy Cutie Chat, the Liam James of Podcast Podcast, and Roxy's World, which will be returning with new episodes very shortly, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.